All right, the next one is hit or hatred, both, or hatred. But we're already up at, it's already around 7:10, right? So why don't we just hold this for the midnight then? We'll just do this and, let's see how long it is. I wanted to, if I just do one and everything, then we're not going to get anywhere close to covering 26. So, okay, should we do this one quickly or should we skip it? Okay, let's try to hit it quickly. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in one hadith, he said, "La tabaghadu," don't hate, right? Don't hate. In another verse, Allah says, "Khuz al-af wa'amur bil-urf wa'arid anil jahilin." Be forgiving to other people. And you know, there's a story about this particular verse that comes to mind about Umar radiallahu anhu. There was a person who, long story, but a person sought audience for his uncle with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so when he with Umar radiallahu anhu, so he was Amirul Mu'mineen at the time. He got his audience because he was very close to Umar radiallahu anhu. So he got his uncle in. He came and saw Umar radiallahu anhu, and he said, "Yeah." He said, Ibn Khattab. He didn't call him Amirul Mu'min, nothing. He said, "This is not your." He basically said, "It's not your father's money, right?" He said, "Give us from this money what something very insolent like that." And we know that the ru'ab of Umar, right? He got up, he was gonna go at him, and then the nephew, right? He said that he recited this verse. He said, "Khuz al-af, forgive, right? Seek your forgiveness." وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ and enjoin good. وَأَرِدَ الْجَاهِلِينَ turn away from these people who are jahil. He said, وَهَذَا مِنُ الْجَاهِلِينَ he said, my uncle, he's a jahil. Right? Just leave him alone. And then when he said this verse, Umar radiallahu anhu, he just stopped. And the beautiful thing that always strikes me about is how the nephew now, how he describes Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, وَكَانَ وَقَافًا عِنْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ right? He was a person who would just stop when it came to the Book of Allah. Like the Quran owned him, right? The Quran owned him. Now people joke a lot about other people being haters, and there's a lot of haters in this life, and you know, and they don't. Some people don't like other people get ahead, and you know, because, and there's a problem because they think that all the good should just be for me. I guess it's sort of this entitlement thing, and it's also this miserliness because they're being miserly in the division of Allah. Right? What difference does it make to you if that person, Allah gives to that person? It's not affecting you. But some people are so stingy, they don't like to spend. They even don't like it when their spouse spends, or their children spend, or their friend spends. They're miserly about other people's money. And that translates even all the way to Allah. They're miserly in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Who are you to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how to divide his risk and who he gives what to? But this is a little bit different. This idea of both, it's actually a feeling of contempt. It's a feeling of animosity, a hatred, a dislike. You find other people unbearable. It's something burning, malice. This is a good word, malice for the other individual. And there's different reasons why this comes up in some people. Sometimes it comes up because there's a clash of personalities. Sometimes it comes up because there's a clash of views. You see some people who are liberals. You saw this with, you know, how polarizing, this is the word they use in politics, you know, this Trump era was, where you have the people on the right and the people on the left, and they absolutely hate each other's guts. It becomes like a deen, right? They hate each other. And so sometimes a clash of views, right? Some people are liberal, some people are conservative, this or that. Sometimes it's because of jealousy. Right, some people have so much envy they start hating the other person because they have something that they want. Right, there was actually a song when I was growing up. It was called Jealousy. Right, she's got everything that you want. That was literally refrain in the pop music. But a lot of this comes back to this idea, and it's actually very. I was just thinking about this, and I said the reason a lot of times that people hate is because people are different. And I just, you know, it's such a beautiful thing when, you know, a thought comes to you, and then I was reading somewhere else, and I wrote in one of the commentaries, Imam Nawawi writes about the same thing. This is one of the reasons that people hate, is these differences between people. Black people hate white people. White people hate black people. People hate brown people. You know, it's just, why? Just because of skin, color of your skin? But sometimes it's that simple. People from this school, like Aya kids, hate UAF kids. UAF, why? You're Islamic schools that live down the street. Doesn't make any sense, but it's difference, right? People form an affiliation towards something, and anything outside that that affiliation, then they start developing hatred. And it also arises sometimes when a person wants to take revenge on someone, but they can't. They want to harm someone, but they can't, and it creates frustration, and eventually this festers and becomes, it becomes negative. Now, hate is actually important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in our lives for a reason. Because you are supposed to hate sometimes. You're supposed to hate evil. You're supposed to hate injustice. You're supposed to hate oppression. And this hatred is such a strong emotion that it motivates you and it drives you to do something about it, right? Like, I have a very soft spot for abuse, right? Child abuse, sexual molestation. In my back of my mind, that's something I want to do something in my life about and contribute to protecting individuals from that, because it scars people so badly, right? And so I hate it, and so that it motivates me in the back of my mind. I want to do something about it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it there for a reason. But the thing that's not okay, and it's a spiritual disease, is this baseless hatred that sometimes people have. When the base of that hatred is not for something that's good, but it's basically based on a person's nafs, right? And sometimes people feel justified in the hatred. They say, oh, well, that person said that to me. She did that to me, so that's why I hate her, right? She shouldn't have acted in that way, right? I just hate her guts, right? People, and so sometimes something this small, but then they make it this big in their life, right? They make it an atomic bomb. There's an inherent friction that exists based on human relations. And that there's so much in the deen, and we don't have time to go into it, but silman qata'ak, you know, join those people who cut you. That is all about taking people who do bad to you and doing good to them. Taking people who do bad to you and overlooking them. Forgive. If you overlook others, and you have mercy on others, and you cover up the faults of others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do the very same things for you on the day of Qiyamah. So you have to overcome, you cannot let those negative experiences with other individuals devolve into hatred, because if it was like that, then the whole world will fall apart. No two people can live together. The Prophet ﷺ would talk about that it's better to be amongst the people and put up with the other. He recognizes that people can be a pain in the neck, right? People can say things which are really insolent or really inflammatory, really insinuating. We get that, but put up with their other, it will build character. It will build forbearance and hilm amongst within yourself. And there's goodness in that, and there's that is part of makarim al-akhlaq. And so the deen is constantly asking us to overcome this coefficient of friction, right, and be with people, and not allow it to become hatred. And I'll give you one hadith in the Prophet, and it's a long hadith, but basically the Prophet says, when Jesus said, "Do you want to see a person of Jannah?" And the Sahaba said, yes. And he said, it's that person. So the Sahaba actually went and stayed with him. He didn't do any special prayer. He wasn't reading a lot of Quran. He wasn't doing a lot of ibadah. Finally, he's like, what are you doing that's so special? He said, I don't do anything special. I only think of one thing. He said, every night before I go to sleep, I clean my heart for every other Muslim. First of all, think about, this was a Sahabi. He wasn't hanging out with Qurayshis. He wasn't hanging out with Kufars. He's hanging out with Muslims. He's hanging out with Sahabas, right? Sahaba, the most beautiful people. So Sahaba, staying with a Sahaba, what do you have to clean your heart from, right? I mean, it's not like they were sitting here swearing at you. Things happen, right? Things happen between husbands and wife. Things happen between parents and children. Things happen between your friends and your neighbors. It's life happens, it's okay, right? It doesn't mean the people are bad. It's inherent friction that exists within the system. But the amazing thing that he did is he kept his heart pure. How many people can actually say that? That I don't have anything in my heart for anyone. Khalas, no one. The Prophet ﷺ, he kept his heart so pure, so much so, he said, when someone said something about another person in his presence, he says, don't say something like that, because I don't want it to taint my vision and have a negative screen when I meet other individuals. Because even if you kick out the bad thing that someone said about someone, somewhere in the back of your mind now that exists. It's a bias. He didn't even want his heart to have a bias towards individual. He wanted to take people as they came to him. So, and then if you are, and this is also a secret, that if you've been hurt by someone and you hate them because of that hurt, understand that that person is going on scot-free in their life. They don't care about your hurt. And you're sitting here for years and years, mired in your hurt. That person's enjoying their life. You're suffering. You're actually doing their job for them. Stop. Right? Stop giving them ammunition. Stop fulfilling their mission. Let go. It will set you free. Right? When you let go of the hatred, the first person to benefit is you. But I'll tell you that sometimes, sometimes it's not possible to do that. Sometimes the hurt, I recognize that. And sometimes people get worried, like, you know, there might be a sister who was raped, right? And then you're saying, well, yeah, you have to completely forgive your perpetrator. Although there is benefit in that spiritually for the person to do that, to even forgive them. And, you know, very beautiful stories about Muslims who have taken the killers of their own children and forgiven them, and, you know, it's gone viral on, you know, internet and stuff. It's very moving that the akhlaq that our deen gives us. But, like, say you can't bring yourself to do that. Does that mean you're a bad Muslim and now you're sinful because now you have malice? Right? That's the problem that people who are trying to walk this path of spiritual purification, they said, there's some people I can't get past. I just don't like them. There's a different word in the Arabic language which is called inqibab, which is called like a tightness. This is not impermissible. If you feel tightness around another individual, and it could be for any of the reasons, it could be because they did something bad to you, right? Now your heart just doesn't open up to them. Or it could be just about something else. Sometimes some people, they just don't get along, right? They just don't think. Now you don't have to feel bad that, oh, I hate this person. Like, maybe you just might not like them very much. But that's an involuntary feeling that came in your heart. You're not doing it. It just came naturally. That's not something that you held account for. When we talk about malice, and the thing when the Prophet says that two people who have this hit and this malice, that they will not be forgiven. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. They're not forgiven. It actually becomes a blockade for your own forgiveness. When you talk about cleaning your heart, we're talking about people who sit there and they have these machinations, and they're thinking, and they're plotting, and they hate that person, and they're thinking about it at night, and they think about it during the day. It is a volitional, active process of hate. Now, how do you deal with this? The way that you deal with this is understanding that hate is the absence of love. Hate is the absence of love. The way that you treat hate is by fostering love, learning to love, and learning to love people genuinely, and loving people indiscriminately, even the sinner. Even in our deen, we don't hate this. People say, oh, subhanAllah, how could you say that about, you know, a homosexual person or something like that? You don't hate the homosexual. You might hate homosexuality as an act. We hate the sin, but we don't hate the sinner. We have love for every individual. And this is something that sometimes people who, as they become, you know, more righteous, you know, لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء بعضهم أولياء وبعض, that you shouldn't take them, be very your close friends, and you shouldn't have mawadda with them. That doesn't mean that you can't have love for them. And what having love for them, and this is actually, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And none of you will believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. In the commentary of أخيه, Imam Nawawi goes to show, I'm not going to go into the whole commentary, but this أخيه doesn't mean only Muslims. It talks about a universal brotherhood of humankind, right? That you should have a general feeling. This love we're talking about is not necessarily make them your best friend. It's talking about you want khair for them. You want good for them. And for the non-Muslim, what is the khair you want for them? The khair you want for them is that they have the deen of Allah, that they have the deen of Islam, that they have hidayah. And it's that feeling, not that I'm right, I want to prove you wrong. If you go to da'wah with that attitude, it's not going to bring barakah. If you go to da'wah with the idea that I love you, I don't want you to go to Jahannam, I want you to succeed in this life, I want you to succeed in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put asar in your words. He will put love in your words. And love is the thing that touches people's hearts. You know, there's this... I've given the story many times, but it's such a powerful story about that one woman in Pakistan. She was, like, you know, scandalous and wearing terrible clothes, and all the mullahs are giving this fatwa and that fatwa and this thing about her, and she's like goes off on the mullah's back, and she's, you guys are hypocrites, and it's just a terrible situation. And the same sister, mashallah, she changes her life, and she wears dupatta, and she comes to the deen, and she settles down, and she comes married. And so they ask her in an interview, they said, how did you change? And she said, I met this one individual, he came, and he just showed me love. Right? He just showed her love. It was a religious figure who just gave her love. Beti, you know, I care about you. Just that small word, my daughter, right? I care about you. What are you doing? You shouldn't be doing this. Or he might not have even said that. He just showed her care, concern, attention. And they asked her, who is that person? She said, it was Maulana Tariq Jameel. Right? What? A little bit of love goes a long way. And that's something that's really lacking in the world. So this is the way that we're having trouble even loving our spouses, loving our children. Kids say, can you imagine kids sit around with each other and they say, yeah, I hate my mom. I hate my dad. Why? He didn't let me go to the party. Is that a reason to hate the person who gave you life? Right? There would be no party if you weren't alive. Right? Wake up call. But small things, and they use this word so flippantly, I hate them, right? I hate my kids, right? I hate my wife, right? I hate my spouse. They're just so over. Just stop hate, right? We have to love. And the way that, so that's how you, so a person might ask, how do I develop this love for other people? Even love for other people who don't do good to me. Loving people, not for their own sake, but loving them for the sake of Allah. This is a big thing in our deen, right? One of the people who will be combined under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Seven people, special people, are people who met for the sake of Allah. Who loved each other for the sake of Allah. It means you don't necessarily see eye to eye. You both don't like to play basketball. You don't have a lot in common, but you both love Allah. And you both love the deen. And you also want to improve in your deen. And you help each other become better in your deen. And you meet for that reason. You're under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day when there is no other shade. So redirecting our love for our spouses, for our children, for our friends, for our community, for the sake of Allah, that خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ, the best of people are the people who are beneficial to others. That الْخَلْقُ عَيَالُ اللَّهِ, these are the dependents of Allah. Right? You stop seeing people as, you know, like jerks, and say that, subhanAllah, these are the quote-unquote children of God. Right? These are the dependents of Allah. I want to go and do good to them because of their connection with Allah, and I love Allah. Then it becomes so easy. It becomes so easy to love people. Making dua for other people. If you have bad feelings for another person, do the opposite. If you're feeling envy for another person, they got a better score than you. They have, you know, more talking bayans than you. They have, you know, a better house than you. They have a better spouse than you. They have better kids than you. Their kids got into better college than your kids. Make dua for them. Ya Allah, their kids got into college. They got into Harvard. Make them get into Harvard Medical School. Right? Make something more than what they have. And as you will do that, that's bending the paper the other way. It removes that negativity. Another treatment for this is to forgive individuals. And getting in the habit of just forgiving and forgetting, not collecting red stamps. Hai ho gaya gai guzra mamla samjha. Right? It's just done, it happened, it's not a big deal. Right? Don't make a big deal out of everything. So some people say that, oh, I've been living with this person, we had, you know, so many fights, and you know, there's like, it just builds up, and they keep all these red stamps until it becomes like a mountain, and then they drown in the red stamps. Just forget it happened. It's the past, right? Live in the present, and this is one of the beautiful du'as that one of our teachers used to make when he used to make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, gai guzrawa mamla, like basically deal with us. Like, okay, that happened in the past. You just let it go, right? We can do that to others as well, right? We can do that for us others as well. And the last thing is develop some hilm, develop some vastness in your chest, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al Halim. He's forbearing, meaning that when people say and do silly things and wrong things, just look at them that they're just kids, right? Just like they're kids. Don't take it. Don't make a big deal out of it. They said it. It's just some words. They probably don't mean it. And just overlook it, forbear it, and you just keep on going. And the fact of the matter is, now they're not only kids. We're all kids. And the fact of the matter is that in the end of the day, we're all kids. So this is one of the things that we should try to do. And then the last thing is this on a regular basis. It doesn't have to be nightly. It could be from Jummah to Jummah. It can be from Nisf Sha'ban to Nisf Sha'ban. But from time to time, you got to do a spot check. Look inside and see if you have bad feelings to anyone. Right? And if you do, then try to undo that. Send a gift to them. Talk yourself out of it and get rid of it, because it doesn't benefit anyone. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ